The 2016 Twilight Concert Series is here. Shows start July 21st and run every Thursday through September 1st. Tickets are $5 in advance or $10 day of show, so get your tickets early. Visit twilightconcertseries.com for more information.
Salt Lake Underground. Are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves.
Give me something to feel, 'cause I can't deal no more. Give me something that's real, 'cause I can't steal no more. Give me tooth and claw and blood and guts and bone, 'cause I don't wanna feel this way.
My name is Dan Fletcher, and I write songs. So I started playing music right about the time that I saw the video for Smells Like Teen Spirit. I was probably 8 and obsessed with it, like unhealthy obsession, like coming home from school and just hoping that video would play. And it was right after that that I asked my mom for a guitar and just started learning Nirvana songs. And that pretty quickly turned into me writing these just bad versions of Nirvana songs. And I just never really stopped after that. I was probably 12 when I started a punk rock band, and the rest was history. So the first bands I played with were punk rock bands in Provo, and we'd play shows at the American Fork Veterans Hall and Rhapsody and places like that. And that was an amazing scene. When I turned 18, I moved to Salt Lake and started playing in hardcore bands. Played in a band called Cherim and another band called City to City here in Salt Lake. And then toured with a band called First Blood out of San Francisco for a number of years.
Straight ahead, there's no turning back.
So at one point I met a girl, and she got an internship in New York City. I didn't really know what I was doing, so I figured let's go out there and see what happens. In 2008, we moved to an illegal, abandoned paint factory that had been turned into sketchy apartment flats in Brooklyn. I feel like we moved there well into the sort of hipsterdom of Brooklyn. It's the Brooklyn that you see in Vice. In New York, there's just layers upon layers of amazing songwriters from the entire history of rock and roll music and folk and punk rock and into, you know, hardcore in the 80s. And so much of American music was honed there and invented there. And it was kind of a great place to be for that, because all of the different influences I had could be channeled. One day you'd be walking through a park where Bob Dylan played, and then you're walking past CBGB's, which is, you know, the home of all the bands that I grew up obsessing over. You know, where Agnostic Front played, and Cro-Mags, and Sick of It All, and then obviously punk rock before that. And then other things I love, like passing the clubs where Jeff Buckley played, which are now like kosher markets on the Lower East Side. And there was such a stratification of musical history that I think it was good for me, because as I was playing solo music for the first time, I was kind of finding out where all of those different influences came together. It was a great place to be. I was just writing and writing and writing there, and I didn't actually record or release any albums while I was living there. I think kind of because I was feeding off of that energy. mean, I wrote hundreds of songs just trying to like get to a place where I felt like all those different influences, whether it was Bob Dylan or Agnostic Front, found my own sound and all of that. So when I left New York, I had 3 hard drives full of music. And at a certain point, I got married to that girl that I'd moved out there with. And we started talking about having a family. We just gravitated back to Utah. It was kind of a perfect storm, literally. We had the hurricane that hit, and we were lucky we were just without power. But when we thought about raising kids in the city, it didn't seem like the sort of place we wanted to do that. We grew up here in Utah, in the mountains, with nature. So that brought us back. So when I got back, I had all of this music and also, you know, a lot of responsibility moving back shortly after our first son was born. And we just had our second son, so now we have 2 boys. When they were born, I kind of had this realization that I didn't want to leave all that music on hard drives, that I wanted them to see that if there's something that they love as obsessively or passionately or addictively, as I've always loved writing songs, that they should always make that a part of their life. So that was when I started reaching out and connecting with people here that were playing that type of music. I just can't sit still. I love all the musicians that I grew up playing music with. We all played in these punk rock and hardcore and metal bands. But I knew that if I was going to record more of a traditional record, I'd have to find some new people with some new skills. When I picked out the first set of 8 songs that I recorded for the record Brooklyn Romantical that were written there in New York, I reached out to an old friend, Wes Johnson, who has archive recordings here in town, and just kind of said, hey, do you know anybody that plays traditional music that would like to add drums, bass, and other instruments? Through Wes, I met Vincent Draper, who is probably the nicest and coolest human on the planet. We hit it off pretty quick, and he played drums on the album and did a lot more than that. He still denies it, but he pretty much produced the album in that he helped me understand what it takes to record something with a lot more subtlety than the albums I'd done in the past for bands like Cherim, where it was 10 layers of distorted guitar, which is a whole art for itself. I think without his influence, it wouldn't have been as tastefully done as it probably was. Through Carson and Wes, I met Tate McCallum Law, who's played in bands here for a long time and is just a beautiful guitarist and a beautiful person. He and I grabbed coffee one day at the Rose and talked about Sunny Day Real Estate for like an hour and trip hop, and for some reason that just seemed to work. And so when he came into the studio, he played lead guitar, and he had just this beautiful layer of ambient slide lead guitar that now I couldn't imagine the songs without it. I recruited old Trevor Hadley, who's played in bands here for ages as well, Band of Annuals and other projects, Cub Country. And he flew into the studio, turned up to 11, as he always is, and laid down some amazing bass lines. That stuff comes so naturally to him. So yeah, that was the unit that I connected with that played on this album. So on the record, there were also some great guests who came along and added things in. There's a song called The Man That I Am in Your Eyes, and a good friend of mine named Mike Farfel, who's an author here in Salt Lake, who wrote the book Tulip and released that recently. He added a spoken word section to that song. And then an old friend who I'd never played music with, named Laura Kieschel, threw her hand up in the air to add singing to the record and sent me a track, and it was just stunning. I've known Laura for a decade and had no idea that she had the type of sort of God-given, beautiful voice that she has. So we collaborated on a song called Earth's Most Beautiful Liars, and it's pretty much a composite of every fucked up relationship that I've ever had. Sort of a funny look at the wreckage and the endings and all of those things. And when I showed Laura the song, it kind of hit the same note. There were a lot of the images and concepts and things that I put across that resonated with her and her own relationships. So it was a really cool process to go into the studio and record this song. It was her first time recording on a record, and she just nailed it. I mean, I probably took a while to record my parts, and she maybe had 3 takes, and it was in the bag. So it was a beautiful process, and I couldn't be happier with the song. It's called Earth's Most Beautiful Liars.
Well, it's been real, and it's been fun. Let's be real. Time tearing us apart. The needle and the damage done. Neon nights we came unspun. Waking up in the desert, surrounded by fires. You and me, Earth's most beautiful light.
So you just heard Earth's Most Beautiful Liars off of my first solo record, Brooklyn Romantical. My next show will be at the Urban Lounge on July 13th, opening up for Corb Lund, who's an amazing country singer out of Canada, who's been at it for a number of years and just makes beautiful, stunning roots music. So I'll be doing some solo songs to kick it off, and then I'll be playing with Vincent Draper on drums, Tate Law on guitar, and my old friend Trevor Hale is going to be playing bass. And I'll see if I can't get Mikey and Laura to come out and do those songs with me as well.
4 geeky girls walk into a studio.
Hello, sweetie!
Your weekly dose of geek news.
Hello, sweetie podcast.